The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Many of Jesus' disciples who were listening said, "This saying is hard. Who can accept it?" Since Jesus knew that his disciples were murmuring about this, he said to them, "Does this shock you? What if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life, while the flesh is of no avail. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life, but there are some of you who do not believe." Jesus knew from the beginning the ones who would not believe and the one who would betray him. After he said, "For this reason I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by my Father." As a result of this, many of his disciples returned to their former way of life and no longer accompanied him. Jesus then said to the 12, "Do you also want to leave?" Simon Peter answered him, "Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We're all familiar with the term "just cut and paste it." And I turn to my kids many times to help me cut and paste because I don't understand sometimes how to do that. It seems that today in the gospel reading, the organizers of the lectionary that put together how we do the cycles and the readings, they cut, but they did not paste. And that's done intentionally. What I refer to is the first line of the gospel reading is, many of Jesus' disciples who were listening said, "This saying is hard. Who can accept this? It's too hard for us. We don't get it." What is that referring to? It doesn't say what it's referring to. Well, the line before that we read in last week's gospel, he was saying, they were saying to him, "This man is telling us that we must eat his flesh. Who can give us this flesh to eat?" And that we have to eat this flesh to have eternal life. If we recall in last week's gospel reading, Christ to that said, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." But how come that part of the reading is not included in today so that we can understand it? If I didn't tell you that, you may have a great memory, but you may not remember that we read that last week. Because, my brothers and sisters, scriptures, the message of God, is a supernatural message. And it's not the way of the world. And for every person that is living, even those following Christ, it can be a hard saying. And in all three readings today, they are a hard saying. In the first reading of Joshua, he states to his people, "Decide today who you will serve. Is it God or is it yourself? Is it a God that you make of your own choosing, the God of whatever that may be, whether it's an addiction or you stay at the natural level? We adore the world, how beautiful it is, but we don't look beyond the creator and maker of the world. Choose today," and that's a continual conversion that we must have. We must always choose God, but because of original sin, we tend to be always having to paddle upstream because trials come and trials go. And we too say, "This is hard. The way of a Christian is not the way the world goes." And we're constantly upstream many times. And of course, in the second reading, another hard reading, especially in our climate today, of being subordinate.
Wives, be subordinate. Husbands, be subordinate. Subordinate. But subordinate, if we're subordinate to each other, then we're serving each other. It's not one subordination over another, as some governments and regimes in the world oppressive. It is a subordination that it's a mutual thing. And I subordinate myself to serve you because of my love for you, because of the love that God has for me and us. And we must love our brother and our sister. And the greatest subordination, the greatest humility, is the subordination of God himself. Where he becomes a man, lowers himself, and serves us as one of us. The greatest subordination is that he locks himself, allows to be locked himself, to be held, to be consumed, to be broken down in our mouths in the form of bread. What more subordination? God, the maker of the world, lowers himself. So subordination is not a negative thing. Like anything else, it can be made wrong. It can be abused. And that's what governments, communism, and every regime and every relationship that can exist, that can go awry. But again, we always think of it as a bad thing. If we're subordinate to each other, we love each other, we serve each other. So that can be a hard saying to many when they say, oh, of course, the church, subordinate, but it's a love affair. And finally, if we approach today in this gospel reading, it is a hard saying what God has for us. Because if we approach the message of Christ with preconceived notions, conditions, then his words will become a hard saying. And then we too will betray him. And then we too will go to our former way of living and never really have a true conversion. Because it is a continual reliving, a continual review through prayer and reflection that what we see around us, although beautiful, but many times becomes disorder. Our lives many times are disorder. We have family members, we have worldly disorders, country, and in our minds and our hearts and our souls, the disorder of anxiety, the worry that Paul talks about, the constant angst that he has. And finally, my brothers and sisters, if we approach the message of Christ in a natural level, the real love story between a lover, the maker that is God, and his creature will never be fully realized. It'll always be at a kind of thing that we do, like we need to go to church because that's what God says. We kind of punch that ticket, that time card, and we're good. Then we'll never have a real conversion. And then if we don't have a real conversion, understand what God does for us, how much he loves us. Then when things do go wrong in our lives, by way of tragedy or sickness, misfortune, disease, then the message of Christ strikes at the heart. And he states, come and carry the cross. And what does the psalm say? The just, God will always be with them. God will always help them. But there's a cross to be carried. There's a way of life that is above and beyond what the natural heart, the mind, and the eyes see. So what is this message of Christ? Why can the message seem hard? What is this mystery? Why? Why is suffering? Why this order? Why can God just come down and just wipe the slate clean and take us to heaven? I don't have an answer for you. There's no theologian that has an answer for you. Again, at the vigil, we will say, oh, necessary sin of Adam. Oh, necessary fault of Adam that procured for us such a redeemer as Christ. But then we can ask, but if there was no original sin, then we wouldn't need God to become a man. We can't go there because we're not God. We grow up with this mystery, and how do we grow up? We see a man crucified on a cross. A man clothed with a small linen cloth. And it becomes so natural to us to see Christ crucified. But what does that mean? Why did Christ have to be crucified? It's so normal to us. What does the crucifix mean? The crucifix that we see in our churches, that you will not see in other churches of other denominations, are just a blank cross. But the crucifixion means that Jesus did the will of the Father. That he embraced that hard saying. That even in the Garden of Gethsemane, he asked the Father, "Take this cup away from me, but not my will, but your will be done." And so this, my brothers and sisters, of the three hard sayings, choose what you will do today in the first reading. Be subordinate to each other and to the God that loves you so much, is what this hard saying is, that we are to embrace the will of God. The issue is that our ultimate vocation is supernatural, not natural. And again, what I'm saying is that we look at things from a natural point of view, and that's why we have the sacraments. That's why we have prayer. That's why we have the Blessed Sacrament to visit, to supernaturalize our existence and supernaturalize our ways of looking at our lives. And then when we leave there, even if it's just 5 minutes, I can guarantee you that you, if you're open, you will see things always in a different light. The raising of the natural to the supernatural for us is our call to share in the very Trinity of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That as natural as we are, and as supernatural, as mysterious as God is, he lowered himself to become a man, to raise our natural human condition up to live with him forever. The Christian life cannot be understood no other way than a continual, a permanent, and a daily response to a call, not only heard one time, but progressively drawing us out of ourselves to believe that Christ is the Son of God and that we follow him and participate in his suffering. If we see it any other way, then we will murmur, we will turn away, and we will say, "This is our hard saying," and then we'll have to answer to God like Joshua is asking, "Then who will you serve today?" And like Peter will have to say, hopefully say, "But where can we go?" There's so many different ways to live this life, so many different religions, Eastern, Western, no religion, atheism. Only you, God, has this mysterious message that is hard. And that's why it's rejected. I leave you with this quote from St. Teresa of Lisieux, a doctor of the church, 24 years old. "Alas, it does pain him to give us sorrows to drink. But he knows this is the only means of preparing us to know him." Oh, what a destiny. I'm sorry, to know him as he knows himself and to become gods ourselves. To become gods ourselves. And he capitalizes it. Capital G-O-D-S. Oh, what a destiny. Oh, how great is our soul. Let us ponder the great gift of the incarnation. Let us not murmur and reject the message of God, the message of Christ. May God have mercy on us. May we choose right. May we choose truth and live this life natural now, but continually supernaturalizing it as we're invited into the